You're listening to the Red Diamond Courier, an Elder Scrolls podcast. Here are your hosts, Bob Chichinsky and Dog Bark 24.
Welcome everyone to episode 72 of the Red Diamond Courier. I am here with you as always, the one and only Bob Chichinsky, here with my good friend, Dogbark24. How's it going, my man?
It's going pretty good. How are you?
I am doing fantastic and fully excited to be here this week talking one of our oh-so-special dungeon guide episodes, giving out all the tips and secrets you will need to successfully pass through not only the Falkreath Hold, but the Bloodroot Forge, both as part of the Horns of the Reach DLC pack. Yeah, that's a mouthful, but we are freaking excited to be here talking about it. You will definitely leave this episode feeling like you're ready to go take down, how do I blank this big freaking Minotaur's name? Dummy House? Something?
Yeah, Dummy House is, Falkreath Hold.
There you go, I got it right. You'll be able to slay him in, like, nanoseconds. Okay, don't keep me to that. But you will definitely, enjoy that fight much more than if you hadn't listened to this episode. I don't know. I don't make promises for a reason. Anyways, Dogged, let's get right into the news, my man, because we got a jam-packed episode. What is going on in Tamriel this week?
All right. Well, last week we had the year-end event stream, and in that stream they talked about the Bounties of Blackwood event that's happening right now. They announced a new prologue quest that's out now, and they announced the Deadlands release dates, which is November 1st for PC and November 16th for consoles. Hopefully with this extra week, we'll get like the first bug fixes patch like they did for Q3 DLC. That'll be nice. But if it's like before where we just have to wait 2 weeks and they don't change anything, it's kind of just suck. Like, because it used to be just 1 week, and now we're going back to 2 weeks, so. In the post-show for the year-end event stream, they were doing a couple questions, and they were answering. And one thing that I found of note was that the cold server storage for inactive accounts is starting up soon. And it's going to be starting up one server at a time, starting with Xbox EU. And then the accounts that are going to be targeted as like inactive will be, it might be about 180 days or more. They haven't really figured it out, but yeah.
EU on Xbox seems like kind of a weird place to start out of all places.
Yeah. I would assume Xbox EU might be like the smallest one, so maybe that would be the reasoning for it, but I have no idea.
I guess so. I feel like Xbox EU would much rather prefer that they start first with, like, DLC or something. But I guess, there you go. You get something first, right? It's good.
Yep.
So, what about this brand new event we are in the midst of, Dogged? The Bounties of Blackwood event. It started, let's see, September 30th and run into October 12th. So we got another solid almost week of this left. Running at least through this weekend. Lots of good stuff. How have we unlocked all the tiers yet?
No, but we are at an 87% completion as of like today. So we're almost there.
Okay. 87%, not that bad. So 33%, we got the Pellucid Swamp Jelly Pet. Well, we haven't got it yet, but we unlocked it for the rewards later. At 66%, we got the Shadows of Blackwood Markings. And Dogged, why don't you tell these fabulous people what they win at 100%.
All right, so at 100%, we get a cascading bounty box. And this will give you an attunable crafting stations, which is blacksmithing, clothing, woodworking, maybe jewelry. I don't know. Last year, they didn't give us jewelry, so who knows. But they also give us a unique Ogrim target dummy. And then a chance to include some random items like Undaunted Plunder, rare items, or item sets. So just miscellaneous little boxes along the way, too. And lastly, you'll get the Deadlands DLC for free for anyone that owns Blackwood as of the event. So,
yeah, the Deadlands DLC there. It's a pretty surprising way for them to give it away, I guess, I would say.
Yeah, it was definitely something that I wasn't expecting. And then along with completing your Pathfinder achievement, you also can do dailies and other kinds of stuff. Everything is double drops right now. And you can get 2 tickets a day. And you can get the Voriplasm pet from the Murkmire Met if you didn't already get it. Otherwise, the Glorious Coffers are giving you Blackwood-themed furnishings, motifs, or recipes. So, it's pretty nice, low-key event. It's just a nice thing to just get tickets, or if you like any furnishings. There's a really nice statue that I like in the Impresario, and that's what I'm going to be going for.
The Impresario, huh?
Yep.
It's been a while since the Impresario had something that really was catching my eye, I'm not going to lie.
Yep. For the most part, I've kind of just been getting like the normal fragments for the...
Did you get all the ones for the Griffin, like half Griffin?
Yep, I got that, I think like day one of the event, or day two.
Very nice. I don't think I'll make it there. But I'm gonna try and get close, at least.
So, Bob, what is your overall thoughts of this event?
I mean, overall, in comparison to the similar events that have been run last year, I would say that it's all right. I mean, I know that a lot of people were looking for probably different things for like the end all reward, but still being able to get the DLC is a pretty cool thing. I certainly wasn't gonna look to buy it, and I don't have ESO Plus on my Xbox anymore, so I'll be able to play it over there now if nothing else. So that's pretty cool. And I think we're clearly going to reach it at this point, so that's always nice. And I do enjoy that it allows you, like, if you already got the Pathfinder achievement, then you don't actually have to really do anything else. You just already, like, have contributed, so that's nice, too.
Yeah. I'm definitely glad to have a reason to go back into Blackwood, but knowing that in a month that we'll be, like, getting curated set drops from bosses... I don't, like, I'm kind of just getting in there, doing my dailies, and like, all right, I'm going to do something else now, because there's not really much point when anything that I want, I'll be able to get next month, you know? Although, I still think it would be cool if these types of events included, like, their dungeon counterparts for double drops. Like we had 2 DLCs that had us to do with a year. I think it'd be cool if they somehow incorporated those, even if it was just like double drops, or maybe make it like part of like the event quest to be like, oh, go explore this dungeon or one of the dungeons. I think that'd be cool.
All right, dog. Well, if that's going to wrap up your thoughts, I guess we could hop right to the Cyrodiil side of things. So... this week, we just got the scores for you, straight up. And starting out in the PC Stadia side of things, there are 10 days left, just over a week. NA, Greyhost, we've got EP up in the lead. Starting to pull away a bit, especially with only 10 days left. We got EP at 66k. AD behind them at 62k and DC at 61k. So a little bit of a significant lead for them. Then on the EU side of things, EP once again leading. And this time at 63.8. AD behind him at 62.8. And DC at 57K. So, EP leading both on PC. That is, I don't know, a little bit sad to see. Been a while, but, you know, congrats to the red team there.
Yep, and then for Xbox NA, there's 25 days left in the campaign. And we have DC in first with 15.6K, AD in second with 14.4K, and EP in last with 13.4K. So we have a little bit of a lead right now, but when I got on today, we had emp for 18 hours, and we were also gated, so that wasn't fun. Then on the Xbox EU side of things, we have DC in the lead again with 14.5K, EP shortly behind with 14.4K, and then AD in last with 13.6K. So two DC leads in Xbox. All right, so how is the PlayStation scores looking, Bob?
So for the PlayStation side of things, we've got, once again, 25 days left, so pretty fresh scores. For NA, once again, EP is in the lead with 21K. All Mary Dominion right behind them at 12K. And the DC, unfortunately in last, hard to believe, at 12. Well, 11.7K. I guess I'll be fair and not round up since they're in last anyways. And on the EU side of things, we've got EP leading as well, which is quite a few that EP is in the lead of. 20K, AD in second place at 12K, and unfortunately the DC in last again with 11K. So EP leading a lot this week, and suffice to say, some work to be done for DC, but there's still a lot of time left to be done, so you never know. We have a chance. Do you think they'll come back, Dog?
I think AD or DC can come back. Hopefully it's DC, but some of those gaps are pretty big, so.
We are of everlasting faith here at the Red Diamond. You heard it from Dog.
Yep, just keeping it realistic. Hopefully we can just, you know, win the Xbox ones and I can be like, all right, I did my part.
Yeah, that sounds fair. So, clearly, if you are not an EP, you need to get out there and play some Cyrodiil, regardless of your server. So, before we get lost in a call to arms of Cyrodiil, let's start full heart on our episode here, Dog. We got plenty of dungeon stuff to talk about. The Horns of the Reach DLC pack and two, I don't know if I'd say beloved dungeons, but definitely ones that we have struggled through in multiple different ways. Falkreath probably being the Lesser of the Witch, so why don't we just start off right the bat with that. Falkreath Hold may sound familiar because it's a beautiful city if you've ever played this crazy game called Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim. Might have heard of it. Been sold like 8,000 times on 9,000 different consoles, but I digress. This dungeon is going to unlock for you at level 45, and it's located down at the southeast corner of Craglorn, right in that Skyrim kind of region. The main enemies you're going to be dealing with here are pretty much all Minotaurs. You have a Dreadhorn Trampler. This one needs to be faced away from the group and has fire AoEs, so it's going to be really important for the tank to grab those quick and turn them away from everyone else. You also have a Dreadhorn Earthbinder. So So this one is going to summon the Earth AoEs underneath you. Very frustrating. If you start stacking these guys, they're going to be way too annoying really quick. And then the last one, we have the Dreadhorn Wallbreaker. This one has a strong heavy attack and is pretty much super necessary for the tank to aggro this one. So definitely something to keep in mind. Those are going to be the bigger the enemies you have to deal with outside the literal bosses themselves. All right, Doc?
Yeah, some of these enemies are just as hard as some of the bosses, so. Alright, for the first boss, it'll be Morrig Bullblood. She has a couple of adds with her. One of them is a Minotaur, so you want to kill the Minotaur enemies that are by the boss first. And then her mechanic was she'll put up a siege shield, and you should stand in it, because standing in siege is not good. The next boss is Siege Mammoth. This boss needs to be facing away from the group. And then at 40%, the mammoth will stand up on its back legs and sandwich to the ground. And everyone needs to be blocking when they see this, otherwise you will die. And dying is not fun either. And then after this boss, in between this boss, you go out a door. And then as you fight your way to the next boss, you'll notice that there's some siege falling from the sky. It's kind of RNG on where it'll land, so hopefully it doesn't land on your face. Because, you know, siege hurts, and on veteran, it's almost a one shot, so that can be fun. Can definitely ruin no death runs. Alright, I'll let you take over for this next boss, Bob.
For the one and only Sernunon?
Yeah, Sernunon, Sernunon. I don't know, however you want to say it.
Something like that. We will not worry so much about the pronunciation of his name as much of the mechanics of his fight. So this fight starts out as three people, an archer, a two-hander, and a mage. So you're going to want to kill the archer first and then the other two. The archer is definitely, it's just, believe us, you're going to want to take that one out first. After each of them, like, you know, you get a kill on one of the NPCs over there, you're going to have to go grab the AoE they drop and pick it up and drag it into the center. It's kind of similar, like, when you carry around the mist from the Risen of Mazatun boss. Kind of similar to that. You have to take it and drop it in the right place. So after this, you fight the Ghost Skeleton Colossus boss. So after you kill all three of them and knock them out and drag all their stuff into the whole center area, it's gonna pop out the huge Colossus. And the thing with him is he's not going to last forever, and you're going to have to recycle this whole process at least a couple times. Well, I'd say, yeah, at least about three times. So that's a whole thing. And when the Ghost Skeleton Gloss comes out, he puts a little AoE around everyone's feet, and everyone needs to block and move away from each other as it kind of like grows around you, because when it explodes, if you are, like, within each other, then, yeah, it's not going to be good. I don't think I have to explain the fact, but you're going to die. And, other than that, you're definitely going to have to avoid all the little floaty ghosts that he has around. Of course, they're the ones, I believe, you know, if you absorb them, they slow you down, etc. Right, Dog?
Maybe. I don't know.
I just
know you don't want to stand in. Like, you don't want to go on.
Yeah, fair enough.
They hurt you.
Fair enough. And other than that, and like 50%, he's going to just, you know, pull a whole disappearing act. And You're just going to have to repeat the process because that's kind of how this guy goes. But it's rewarding in the end. And overall, not too bad of a fight.
Yep, since they fixed the bug where sometimes you'll like do the fight correctly, you do everything right, but when he comes back after 50%, he comes back at 100%. And that was obnoxious, but they fixed it, so yeah, the fight isn't too bad all overall. The next boss is Deathlord Bizarrefrud Skorlamalor. Yep, that's how you say it. Yeah. But you start this fight by using the synergy in one of the urns and cleansing the corpses in the room. The take will hold aggro on the boss, and he'll pull in or taunt all the archers that'll come in. This is important because you should have one or two people that are dedicated to cleansing the corpses throughout the fight. After a while, he'll go in a phase where he'll put a red circle underneath everybody, and it'll start to grow. When it's complete, it will do damage based on how many corpses are left uncleansed. So the more corpses you have uncleansed, the more damage it does. And yeah, that's also why the tank needs to help pull in if possible, because then everything is just closer together. This fight isn't too terrible as long as you know that mechanic. On normal, even if like people don't know the mechanic and you're the tank usually lives even if no one cleanses anything, so tank can recover, luckily, but like I said, the fight isn't too terrible overall.
All right, dog, so let's finish this freaking dungeon off. We got the big bad Dommy House up in the house, and that was funnier than I thought it was gonna be. I'm sorry, I usually don't laugh at my own jokes, but okay. And it wasn't planned, I swear. Oh my gosh, okay. I sound like dog. At 70%, 50%, 30%, 10%, and 5%, you're going to want to watch out, because this freaking huge minotaur is going to shout so hard and so loud that he's going to break every freaking pillar in sight. And your bones along with them if you are not hiding behind those pillars. So you make sure that as you're 100%, everyone starts like screaming at each other, like, get behind a pillar, do it now. Or, you know, you just know the percentages, you know what to do. But if you are pugging this, I can almost guarantee that you will watch one of your group members die in this moment. Because just not everyone knows, man. Or also, sometimes you just miss it. It just comes up. It's like, boom. And if you over, you got to be careful of over DPSing too, because then it'll just like go into it like really quick and you're not really expecting it. So, yeah. Now, after these phases, the boss is going to spawn in a bunch of different type of Atronachs, pretty much one of every type. And I like, he turns to stone, but he also pops out of it. Like, he's not going to wait for you to kill every Atronach. He's going to pop out of it and just start going again. So you got to be really prepared for that. Now, there's a couple different phases. Other than that, there's going to be a phase where there's flames behind the pillars. He, like, says something and he, like, stomps the ground. And flames come up all around the outside circle. So need to be make sure that you're like inside during that. Now, this is also a really good point to remember here, is that during that phase, you don't have to worry about him shouting. Like, he's not gonna shout while you guys are in the inside circle, but the moment after it's over, he will do it, especially if you've DPSed through the point. So don't think like, oh, okay, well, like we hit 70 and he didn't do it. And like, no, he's going to do it the moment that that mechanic ends. So really, really good to keep that in mind, especially when you're going for the no death on this one. So the boss also slams his hammer down into the ground and causes like power fire waves to shoot out. These you got to make sure that you avoid. And a good way to do that is by trying to rotate around the pillars just in case he gets ready to scream. And other than that, he's also going to pull everyone in and set off these AoEs that will like chase you around as you try and back up away from him after. These can do a lot of damage, and you can also move through other people's lines and just all kinds of trouble. Dogged really had trouble with this when we were trying to go for no deaths and stuff. Not so fancy on the footwork there, dog.
Well, yeah, but also if you have high latency, it just sucks. Because, like, you're moving, but the server doesn't realize that you're moving, so you kind of just die.
All right, fair enough, Indiana. But if you're not dogged, just make sure that you're trying to avoid that. Like, it's really important. That's probably going to be one of the bigger ones that I would say. Now, other than that, all that you got is the execute phase. When you hit 20%, he gains a damage shield and a bunch of adds spawn, all the Atronachs. He spawns them every 75 seconds, and it's just over and over. So you got to make sure that you are just burning the boss down hard. And yeah, that's Diamond House for you. What's hard mode? What's different about hard mode with this one, dog?
He has a little bit more health, and then you lose two pillars.
Oh, so I think you only have
like six.
Yeah, you have to be near perfect.
Yeah.
And so the thing with the pillars is that each one that a person is behind will get destroyed. But you can stack. So if you stack all four players behind one pillar, then only that one player is going to get that one pillar is going to get destroyed. So that's why it's really important to have good communication in that boss fight, especially for the hard mode. So, dogged, any last words on Dami House or Falkreath before we get into some of the sets that comes out of there? What'd you think of the doing the trifecta for this one, the no death and everything? I remember it being a little bit complicated, not too bad. The skin that you get out of here, definitely not my favorite, but our friend, good friend, Gramathon, man, he loves it. He looked like freaking Jigsaw.
Yeah, I actually did this dungeon recently, and like it was just on normal, and like it went pretty smoothly up until like not the boss, not the final boss, but like right before there's like three or four minotaurs, and we just had a rough time with them because minotaurs are strong.
Yeah.
I do like this dungeon. It's a nice one.
It's a good one, and honestly, the hard mode, it's not too bad. Like, I've done it with pugs multiple times. People will be like, yo, hard mode, please, God. And, you know, got it done. Not too bad. So, let's start out on the sets, dogged. You want to start it off, my dude, with the light set here?
Sure. So, the first one is Draugr's Rest. This will give you some max magicka, magic recovery, adds 4% healing done. And then its fifth piece passive reads, when you complete a fully charged heavy attack, you create a circle of consecrated ground that heals you and your group members within 5 meters for 5,800 health over 10 seconds. This effect can occur once every 10 seconds and scales off the higher of your max magicka or stamina.
I don't know how I really feel about that.
It's an okay set. It's not really a necessary set, but
I mean, it's a decent heal. Yeah. 5 meters is not very far, right?
Yeah. Pretty small. I think that's like what Grave Guardian is.
Yeah, that's like really tight. So
yeah.
So that was maybe like 10 meters, give you a nice fat circle around you. Or maybe if it just did it to your allies or something, then I think it might be a bit more viable. But yeah, I mean, I could see people making it work.
Yep, and then also, like, the heal will be bigger if you're an actual healer, too, so it might be more like 15k. That's usually what
that's true.
Mine is, so.
That's a big heal. But, once again, tight radius. Alright, so, let's move on to the medium set here. It is the Pillar of Nirn. So, you're going to have max stam, weapon crit, and weapon damage on the way to the 5-piece, which reads, when you deal damage, you create a fissure underneath the enemy after 1 second, dealing 717 bleed damage to all enemies within 2.5 meters, and causing them to bleed for an additional 3585 bleed damage over 10 seconds. This effect can occur once every 10 seconds and scales off the higher of your weapon or spell damage. Okay. I like this for sure. I mean, I don't know if it's something I'd ever use, but it's got a lot of good stuff just right off the rip. You got 100% uptime. This might have been something they added later, the fact that it scales with weapon and spell damage. But regardless, the fact that it does is really awesome. It's all bleed damage, which is always nice. I mean, it looks like it's mainly would be better for... it looks like a good, like, kind of burning through, like, trash ads, you know? Like, if you're trying to do, like, a DPS that you just run, like, dungeons on and stuff. That, it looks like it could be solid for... it looks like it could be viable in PvP if you were trying to do, like, maybe Cyrodiil with, like, big, like, I don't know, you had some kind of AoE damage build, but, seems more like a PvE kind of thing to me. But, honestly, I don't know if, how many people are really running it, but it looks like you can definitely make use of it. I've never fancied it myself, though. What do you think about it, dog?
Yeah, I would agree with you. It's something that could be viable, but it's not the best of sets, so.
The interesting one. All right, so what about the heavy set?
All right, the heavy set is Iron Blood. This will give you some max health, some armor. This fourth is also armor. And then its fifth piece passive reads, when you take damage, you have a 10% chance to turn your blood into pure iron for 10 seconds. Reducing your damage taken by 30%, but your movement speed is reduced by 50%. And then this effect can occur once every 15 seconds. So this is a decent set if you're like, if your tank might be a bit weaker, but yeah. The one thing that I don't like about it is that it doesn't have like 100% uptime.
Yeah.
And
doesn't have 100% uptime, and reducing the movement by 50%. I mean, I guess if you're in, like, you know, you're tanking, so you're not really moving around that much, so it's not that big of a deal, but that's still, like, quite a hit. And especially if maybe you're trying to, like, get away from something. I don't know. It's just, like, I think if all the three, that one's probably the most forgettable for this dungeon.
Yeah, especially since it also has a 10% chance, which is not good.
Yeah, but it's when you take damage. So, I mean, theoretically, when you're tanking, you're taking damage almost. Yeah. Yeah, but it's not even 100% uptime. So, I mean, just, like, give me a high proc chance if you're not going to give me a 100% up proc time, I guess. Beggars can't be choosers. All right, so the monster set. This is actually one that has seen a lot of use throughout the days, I would say, throughout the years. The Dummy House set. For one piece, it adds max stam and max magicka, which is great right there. For the two-piece, when you deal damage, you create either a ring of fire or a ring of molten earth around you for 10 seconds, which deals 209 flame damage or 209 physical damage every second. Standing within the ring grants you 300 spell or weapon damage. This effect can occur once every 15 seconds, and the damage scales off the higher of your weapon or spell damage. So, not only is the one piece really good and something that a long time people have been running just for the one, but the two piece is also seen a lot of use, especially in PvP throughout the days, and could definitely still be made to be viable, honestly. Definitely one of the, we're still in the earlier DLCs, so when they started putting out DLC monster sets, that's when they really got to start, you know, seeing, like, testing the power and stuff, like, how awesome should we make these things?
Yeah, it's definitely a pretty, decent set, especially if you're someone who kind of just, like, sits around. Which, like a lot of us, some of the heavy armor stamina builds are, they kind of just tank a lot of damage, then put out a lot of damage. So, especially if you're a Stamplar. So,
Stamplar.
Yep.
Don't you yup me, dog. I need 8 syllable responses. All right, so. Everyone knows now that Dog loves the Dommy House monster set and he runs it all day long. So, Dog, anything else on good old Falkreath?
All right, well, there is an antiquity lead you can get throughout the dungeon. You can get the Golden Idol of Morihas, and you get this from killing any Morotaur. And, yeah, pretty much any Minotaur that you kill gives you a chance at it. So, maybe you'll get it, maybe you won't.
Did you say Morotaur?
I think I did. I probably did. I was like, is that the pronunciation?
Like some kind of named Minotaur?
It could be. I don't think it is, but it's somewhere it is.
It's
right?
Like a mini boss somewhere in there that you have to go fight. Okay. So, outside of our crazy ramblings, that is going to wrap up Falkreath Hold. And before we move on into the ruins of Mazatune, we would like to remind each and every one of you that we are a part of the oh so wildly popular Robots Radio Podcast Network. And if you go check them out there on robotsradio.net, you will see a litany of awesome podcasts on all kinds of awesome games like Fallout, of course, our favorite Elder Scrolls, Destiny, just all kinds of awesome stuff. You hear us talk about it every week, you know that it's amazing because we're there. I mean, just in the first place, right? So anyways, go check them out, robotsradio.net, and we will catch you on the other side of the commercial break.
Have you ever wanted to learn more about geography without sitting through a snoozy old lecture? Geography Arcade is a weekly podcast all about your favorite video games and their geographic lessons, inspirations, and even some minor analysis. Some may say analysis, boo! Well, we're going to learn and have fun while we talk about Pokemon, Elder Scrolls, and much more. Come join the adventure at Geography Arcade on your favorite podcatcher and YouTube.
All right, Dog. So, as we get into the good old Bloodroot 4, this is one of, well, I guess it's not really like one of your favorites. It just like reminds me of you because you love freaking Earthcore so much.
I don't know. This is definitely one of my top 5 favorite dungeons, maybe top 10.
Okay, yeah, okay. I see, I feel like I've heard you say that before.
Yeah. I definitely like this dungeon.
And not just because you freaking love Earthcore.
Yeah, not just because that. I like the fights.
All right, cool. So let's talk about some fights. Let's see. Well, actually, let's start this off as we generally do, talking about all of the, you know, info that you might not just get. What I can't bring this back from where I was going. So, dog, how should we start this off, my man?
All right. Well, all DLC dungeons unlock at level 45. So you can queue up that way whenever you hit 45. Or you can always enter through the location, which is in southeast, which is in the southeast corner of Craglorn. It's by the lava pool. It's both of these are located in the southeast corner. One's by lava, one's by a house. Actually, I think they're both by houses. But either way, one's by lava. There's little lava lake, and that's where it is.
Little lava lake. I wish I could have a house by a little lava lake. For real, though. This place is filled with lava. So I'm not surprised that it's next to a lava house.
Yeah, that would make sense to me.
Maybe that's why it's filled with lava, because, you know, the house. I'm just kidding. All right, so let's talk about some of the different enemies we've got going on here in this dungeon. Of course, you're going to have everyone's best friend, Stranglers. You know, who doesn't love to just be running along and just get constantly yanked back? And not only are these Stranglers annoying pulling you around, but they also put poison AoEs around them and pull players into them. And yeah, you get a nasty freaking little poison dot. So one of those dots is a slow and you're going to get all like dragged down. But it can be purified, so you got that going for you. Make sure you are checking for those purifiers on the ground. Or if, you know, whatever your healer, whichever way they're cleansing you, just make sure that you're getting that taken care of. And apparently they teleport, dog?
Yeah, they'll teleport to you. So one thing that I like to do, I'm like, oh, right, I know where all the Stranglers are, so get close to it, stun it, and kill it, right? And then I get over there, and it's like, just kidding, I'm over by the group now. I'm like, really? I went all the way over there, and they just teleport away.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like they knew.
It's like they knew.
All right, the next one is Fire Stalks. These will target a player and send a fireball after them. You can either take the damage and have the healer heal you through it, or you can jump into a rock away from the beetle and wait for it to go away before joining back into the fight. We usually only pay attention to the beetles during the boss fight that actually has them. Otherwise, I usually just heal people through it. So it is an achievement to, I think, for one person or everyone to not get hit by it, and that's an achievement that I probably will never get because I don't care enough to do it.
That's a tough one, especially because it has to be everyone.
Yeah, it's a pretty hard one. Not easy, that's for sure. I've tried, but no.
Yeah, maybe one day, man. Maybe one day. So, next up, we have... just looking at the notes, when I glanced at it, I thought it said Minotaur Friends, and I was like, well, yes, there are many Minotaurs in here, and there's no lie. But it's not Friends. It's the Minotaur Firehide. So, it's important when you're going to fight the Minotaurs to understand that there are two different types, and they do two completely different things, and it's, you know, especially when you're on veteran and trying to do no death runs and stuff, if you're going to fight the Minotaurs, you gotta know what you're doing. So the Firehide chains two people to the ground, and if someone doesn't bash the freaking dude, then they're gonna die. Now, once the Firehide guy gets bashed, then the people that were chained, they need to like dip out of there immediately, roll dodge out. I usually roll dodge backwards, because if they don't, then they get a just horrible like dot from this fire AoE beneath them, and it's bad. Like dog can't does like not even want to heal through that. That one cost us some no dust.
Yeah. I can't heal through that. I can activate a barrier, I can heal, you can get Earth Gore, and it'll still kill you because it's insane.
That's so freaking crazy, dude. The fact that it's that bad. So what about the other type of Minotaur dog?
Alright. The other one is a Minotaur Earth Gore. This guy has a two-handed weapon, usually it's an axe, and he will slam his weapon into the ground and cause a lava geyser to go off. The tank needs to stand in it and soak the damage, otherwise it'll kill some of your group members. Especially on the veteran. So,
those are going to be all the enemies you guys need to be looking out for when going through this dungeon. And it's a little bit of a long one, too. So you're going to have a lot of ad fights in between bosses and everything. So, speaking of bosses, let's get this thing started. I guess I'll start us off here, dog, since you just went last. First boss we've got, Mathgamane. Anything with math in the name is, you know it's gonna be bad. And the best part of this boss is the fact that it's a bear. And bears are freaking awesome, but you have to kill it, so, you know. It is what it is. But at 75, 50, and 25%, this bear boss is going to spawn in adds, and that's pretty much the worst thing you'll have to worry about. You know, good old Mathgamane. He's the first boss for a reason, but he's still vicious.
Yeah, his heavy attack would definitely pack a punch, and it's also like an AoE conal thing, so definitely don't want to be by the tank whenever that happens.
Like his cousin Celine. The bear? Is the bear's name Celine to you? I don't know.
I think Celine is the bear, and she's also the person. And she's
That's true. She's like, that's the spirit. It's her spirit animal. Alright, we're getting off topic now. Next boss, dog.
Alright, the next one is Caliwifi.
Caliwifi.
Yeah, it's a Hagraven, and you know, firstly, this is probably one of my favorite sounding bosses, mainly because her voice reminds me of something else, like from like a TV show or a movie from like my childhood. And I don't know what movie or TV show it is, but her voice always reminds me of it. So hear her yelling rumble, rumble, crash and tumble is just like, I just don't know what that's from. And
Yeah. I can't say I know either, man. But I'm glad that it gives you that childhood feel.
Yeah. And then her mechanics is that at 75, 50, and 25%, the boss will spawn in a forest circle around her. You can't shoot through the circle, and if you touch a circle, you get pushed back where you can't do anything for like 3 seconds. And if you're wondering, this doesn't count as a stun. So after you get up, if a bear just wants to stun you, it can and it will. So definitely be careful. If you're crazy like me, you can just stand inside the forest and continue to do damage to the boss and any adds inside of it and hope that a bear doesn't come up and wreck your day, because that's not fun.
Yeah, like, don't try and be like dog and get up in there. It's horrible in there. I hate it. I always get freaking knocked around, slapped around by a bear, and I can't do damage. And I'm getting all stuck inside the wall of death.
Yeah, you just don't have what it takes. But When she spawns the forest, she also summons and adds. Then you have to kill the bear to get, in order to continue the fight. So a lot, what a lot of people do is that they would try to kill everything else and then they kill the bear last. She'll also spawn stranglers throughout the fight, and those seem to be killed, you know, ASAP, because they are the same type of stranglers as before. They put nasty dots on you, and you just don't want them around. But then, lastly, the boss will shoot a massive conal AoE, and you don't want to stand in it, because it hurts. And, yeah, that's that fight.
Yeah, I really hate that fight. I'm not gonna lie. For some reason, the stranglers are always popping up and giving me PTSD.
I really like that fight, but then again, I like to just stand around in the middle and not worry about anything else going on. So,
fair enough. All right, so. The next boss we have is going to be Stoneheart. So, this boss, he's going to be doing a lot of stuff. He, first off, teleports all over the place. He's going to constantly teleport it to a new location and will cast 3 light attacks at whoever has aggro. And then he's going to place a circle of fire on the ground. So, make sure not to use, you know, as always, stack damage, stand in things. Bathing in fire is hot, and not the good kind of hot. This is straight out of the mouth of dog. So, the boss is eventually going to turn all the little rocks that you see around you that you think are cool. No, they're not so cool. They're actually freaking enemies, and he's going to turn them into the Stone Atronox. Hence his name, Stoneheart. And that's once again courtesy of Dawn. So, the best advice we could give you is the moment you see him like sending out signals to one of the stones, just go straight over there, start burning him down, burn the Atronach down immediately, drag the boss towards that. That way you could get some damage on him as well. Other than that, he also has like a fire wave that he stands there and shoots out all over the place. It's really annoying, does a lot of damage. Everything he like his hits the land, he does some good damage, so you really got to be careful for that. Now, the trickiest part of this one is going to be that when the boss is under 25%, he starts rooting the players in vines so their feet are stuck to the ground, which clearly is not going to be what you want. So all you got to do is roll dodge out of it as soon as you can, or it will not only keep you stuck there, but it will hurt you. And also during this phase, he activates like every freaking robot, every stone Atronach. I mean, I guess he kind of turns into robots, but he activates them all. And you're going to want to be careful. That's when you just got to burn the freaking boss down. So, yeah, that is Stoneheart.
Yep, Stoneheart with plenty of dog puns in there.
The first time you put puns back in, and I'm reading through that one, of course.
Yeah. All right, the next boss is Galchabar. This is a huge Minotaur boss. And just like the Earthgore Minotaurs, he'll also slam his axe into the ground, and the tank will need to stand on the lava geyser and block, so, you know, it doesn't kill everybody. That's always nice. There are shocks with the same mechanic as before. When they target you, you want to jump onto a rock that's off the island and wait for it to go away, and then you can take your revenge and kill the shock. The boss will get angry with you and start slamming his weapon on the ground multiple times, and a large AoE will take over the entire island, and you have 2 choices. You can either A, accept defeat and just stand there and hope to live, and, you know, it works on normal. And sometimes choosing death just seems like the best course of action for some people, which, you know, I mean, they can do that, right? But yeah, it works on normal, so that's why I think some people just stand in there and veteran, like, oh, I can eat this, and no, can't.
Mmm, tasty, I can eat it, ah, I'm dead.
Or you can choose, you know, option B, and you get off the island, and it's to stand on the rocks. If you have the same rock, you both want to jump on the rock, so it doesn't realize that there are two players there sharing the same rock to get rid of it. Because, you know, they only want one person per rock. And does this actually work, you might ask? Well, I don't really know. But how smart can a rock actually be, right?
I don't know, man. Those rocks scare me sometimes.
And then lastly, after the island explodes, on Veteran, you have to wait until the firewall is gone before you jumping back on. I've seen many people, and Bob many times, jump full speed ahead into the firewall. And can confirm that I laughed about every time. Maybe not every time, but maybe I did laugh every time.
You know, I would be even, like, watching it go, too, and I'd just, like, jump a half second too early every time. It's like, oh, my God, I would keep doing this. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it cost us at least one no-death run on specifically that. That's kind of far through, too. Like, if you already got to that point and you were no-death, you would come far to lose it there.
Yeah. And then lastly for this boss, you can't just run through the lava to avoid any of the mechanics. The lava will stun you by turning you to stone and then probably killing you because, you know, lava is hot. So
really?
Yeah, I would not recommend taking a nice lava bath.
Even if you have that nice lava house with the little lava lake?
Well, maybe if you're not in, standing in lava that turns you to stone, maybe then it's okay.
Okay.
Like, if you're the Blessed Crucible, you can bathe in lava all you want. That's fine.
I mean, wouldn't all the lava of Morrowind turn anyone to stone? Like, it just seems like a biteful lava. Can Argonians sit in lava? That would be cool to watch. Just come up and see a bunch of Argonians just chilling in some lava like a mud bath.
Who knows? Can't say I've ever seen it, but... maybe there's sure. That one special type of Argonian.
That would be so cool. All right, so let's head towards the end here. We've made it quite of the way through the Bloodroot Forge. You're past Galchabar. You've made it through the last ads. And you come out to the like big courtyard kind of looking place. Where it seems like you're going to fight the last boss, but first you got to get through the Garrig Bullblood Trio. So, the best way to do this is to have the tank go just grab aggro of all three bosses and run into the back right corner from the door to kind of stack the bosses together. So... you gotta, you know, line of sight them so they keep moving and moving. And once you get them stacked together, that's what it's all about. Now, you want to make sure that the Minotaur goes down first. It has the same mechanic as the Firehide Minotaurs, which, you know, chains two people down. And it's really bad. So, just as before, once those people are freed from their entrapment, they gotta get the heck out of there immediately. And now, after you kill the Minotaur boss, you still got the other two. You could kill either of them. Now, the mage can heal, so it just needs to be interrupted, but I don't know. Unless the other one's damage is really annoying you guys, then probably take out the healer first. Well, not first, but the first one after the other first one, you know.
So second?
Yeah, I guess that is the term I'm looking for.
All right. Lastly, we have the Earthgore Amalgam. This is the final boss. And this boss starts off as one boss.
Earthgore Amalgam.
I don't care what it's, you know, I've been messing up every pronunciation of like every boss that Amalgam,
Amalgam, that's what you want to say on record.
You know, Like I said, I mess up every pronunciation, so why stop here, right?
This is very true.
But yeah, this boss starts off as one boss, but it'll end up as three separate targets as the fight progresses. This is a heavy resource management fight for the tank and the healer and the DPS. Pretty much just everyone. And then you get like the second incarnation of the Earthcore Amalgam from at 80% and the third at 50%. So each Earthcore Amalgam all have a heavy attack called Anvil Cracker. This hurts and it's a heavy attack. If his heavy attack cracks anvils, then it'll probably kill DPS and definitely healers if you let it land. If the tank doesn't block or roll dodge this, then they're probably going to die too, especially on veteran. So definitely got to watch out for the charging heavy attack from these bosses. On the left side of the room, there's a fountain that you can use to purge lava pools. It's nice and you can keep the arena nice and well and, well, not on fire. So that's always nice. And then on the right side of the room, there's another fountain. And this one will stun the boss or bosses. It also interrupts whatever phase that they're doing. So if they're like pouting, slamming, ground slamming, or causing rocks to fall everywhere, if you stun them with this, then it's kind of just, they just stop and they get stunned and you can have a nice, easy burn time. I like to bounce it between both of them because I'm usually like the only person in the group that actually knows how to work the fountains. So it definitely makes the dungeon a lot easier. One thing to know is these fountains, you know, they're so nice that if you use the hard mode, they just don't work anymore. So that's definitely what makes the hard mode really hard, because you can't control the arena, you can't stun them, and yeah, it gets to be a mess. So each Earthcore Atro boss can summon a lava pool, and the lava pool just goes wherever he wants to throw it, and it's completely RNG. So your best bet is to start at one corner of the arena and rotate around and hope that RNG chooses to be on your side and not against you. And then not only
seems to be against me.
Yeah, probably. Not only can you not be in the lava pool, but if you stand too close to the pool, it'll attack you. And after three hits, it'll stun you and probably kill you because, you know, fire burns. So it's very hot.
Very hot.
Each Earthcore Atro boss can also go immune to damage, and they throw a tantrum and cause rocks to fall from the ceiling. This mechanic will require you to, you know, sidestep often because they don't rocks, you know, they know where you stand, and they can also predict where you're about to go, so you definitely want to keep your feet moving. You don't want to stand still. And, you know, when I said how smart a rock can actually be, well, I guess it turns out rocks are pretty smart, and you should never underestimate rocks.
Of all the things to not underestimate.
And then pretty much the main way that you want to go about the hard mode is that you want to save your ultimates until the second boss appears, and then you want to nuke both of those two as fast as possible with the ultimates. And then once the third boss comes in to join the fun, you just keep them together so that AoEs can work their magic and hopefully, you know, burn them all nice and easy. When the third boss comes in, he'll be low enough so that if you have any low-cost ultimates, you can cast them again, and then use your executes on it to kill it right away. We've never been able to do that successfully, so yeah, it's kind of just, it depends on how the fight stacks in your favor or not in your favor. So if the tank loses aggro, the best thing for you to do is to stay by the group, stay in the same area that you are fighting in, like, you know, there's a nice half circle, stay on your half circle so that the other half circle doesn't get exploded with lava pools and you can't go over there anywhere. So if the tank dies, like I said, you kind of just want to kite it around the same like half side arena. That way that, because one of the biggest mechanics is just being able to control the environment as to your best ability because otherwise, if the lava pool gets stacked up or they're too spread out, so you can't really move anywhere, it's just a mess. And yeah, that's where you also have to watch those anvil crackers and roll dodge if the tank loses aggro. So, and that's the final mechanics of that boss.
Very, very nice, my good man.
Yeah, this final boss, this hard mode, is definitely probably one of my favorite hard modes because it's kind of just chaotic. And I like the chaos. And it's really good to be able to tell, like, if you can tank that fight, then you can tank pretty much any DLC fight as long as it's not, like, any hard modes. So it's definitely a good place to be like, all right, I can do this, so I should be able to do most other, you know, dungeons in the game. So that's always nice to be able to know where you're at or if you're almost there or, you know, different ways how you can tweak your build to be better.
Yeah, that one is for sure a very good tank test. And speaking of hard mode, man, that hard mode was a rough one for us.
Yeah, it was definitely rough for us.
I remember it getting the best of us many times, but we finally got that one done, got that crazy looking helmet. All right, so let's talk about the sets here, my man. Did you want to start it off with the light set?
Sure. This set is Flame Blossom. This will give you max magicka, spell damage, penetration, and then its fifth piece passive says, when you deal damage, you summon a line of flame that moves around after 1 second, dealing 1600 flame damage to any enemy in its path, applying the burning status effect. And this effect can occur once every 10 seconds and scales off the higher of your weapon or spell damage. This set has a long cooldown, so I wouldn't really consider it to be the best of sets to have because, you know, it's a 10-second cooldown for a very small amount of damage that it does. So I definitely would recommend pretty much a lot of other sets than that.
Yeah, so yeah, I think I'm going to agree with you on that one, man. Just lots of other things, lots of other options you could use. So for the medium, you're going to be looking at the Blood Drinker set. Two-piece is going to give you crit. I'm assuming weapon crit, because the third is weapon damage, and the fourth is more weapon crit, leading to the five-piece, which is increases your bleed damaging attacks by 20%. So, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of ways to increase your bleed damage. Definitely not something you need to really use a whole set's five piece for, but if that's what you're going for, then hey, more power to you.
Yeah, I knew this set used to be one of the big ones whenever bleeds were doing a lot of damage, but yeah, people don't really use this anymore. Alright, the next set is Hagraven's Garden. This is a heavy armor set, and this will give you max health recovery, 4% healing taken, and then its fifth piece is when you take damage while under 50%, you summon a preservation of nature around you in an 8-meter radius for 8 seconds. This grants major protection to you and up to 5 group members while in the area, reducing your damage taken by 10%, and this effect can occur once every 30 seconds. This one has a really long cooldown, and major protection used to be like 25% damage or reduced damage taken. So when it was 25%, this would be a lot more viable, but because it's only 10%, It's too long of a cooldown for it to be worthwhile.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it goes. Sucks when things change and it inherently kind of just destroys some sets in the process.
Yeah, but that's what the collection system is for, right?
That's true. The beautiful, beautiful collection system. And then we have the advancement to the collection system where they're getting rid of RNG soon. And honestly, them doing that has pretty much made me not want to play ESO until that comes out. Because I'm like, why am I going to play right now? I'm not going to get what I want. I'm going to get sad again. All right. Yeah. You're right. It's like, oh, I'm going to get shoulders again. Like, I'll just wait.
Yep. As soon as that comes out, I plan on doing like a lot of pledges. That way I can get like a nice variety of get a nice variety of like set completions and stuff. So probably pledges and daily randoms.
Pledges, daily randoms, some freaking solo arenas, man. Just like fill out all those nice and easy. Don't have to worry about getting the same freaking drop over and over and over and over.
Yeah, maybe awesome. I'll finally go into that Markarth solo arena that I've never been into yet.
Oh my gosh, you still haven't done that one?
No, there's never been a point of me going in there, so I'm like, okay.
Yeah. To be fair, it definitely hasn't been. I mean, there's nothing you really wanted in there. The staffs from in there are pretty freaking cool, especially for PvP. Well, especially when they're super broken at first. Okay. So, let's wrap this up. Let's talk about the monster set. Last set. And actually, you know what, man? Why don't you just handle this? Because this is like your favorite freaking... This is your thing, man. This is your baby.
All right. I'll take it. So it's Earthgore. And its first item is as for percent healing done. And its second is when you heal yourself or a group member that is under 50% health, you conjure a pool of quenching blood underneath them, immediately removing all previous enemy placed effects and healing the lowest health group member in the area over 10 seconds. And this effect can occur once every 20 seconds and the heal scales off the higher of your max magicka or stamina. And yeah, on the tooltip, it says like 10k, which doesn't seem like a lot, but my heal is 34k. So it definitely depends on like how much magicka and how much extra healing done and all the spell damage and all that. And this is a huge heal, you know, 34k, 3.4k a second on top of whatever else heal I throw out. So it's definitely one of those heals that if Earthgore procs, then it's pretty much a guarantee up, you're back to full if you're a DPS or me. So
yeah, or back to full like multiple times. Like it's that insane. Yeah. You can go back to full, run back out there, get hit again, run back in, run back out. It's insane.
Yeah. Now this set has gone through a lot of changes in like the last couple of years. It used to be like a really OP set. And then they changed it so it only heals one person. And then they changed it again so it heals over... It used to be like a 3 second or 4 second heal, but now it's 10 seconds. So I don't know what's worse, you know. I honestly like the 10 seconds better because it heals for longer, but it's not as potent, but
yeah, they do have more opportunity to like go find it or like stand in there for a while, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, if you step outside of it for a second, you don't have the chance of missing the entire end of it.
Yep, and while a lot of people have kind of walked away from Earthgore, I've definitely been like, don't worry, I'll have Earthgore. I'll be the guy who runs Earthgore.
Yeah, dog's still valiantly running Earthgore, man.
Yep. And if you run, like, a couple heals in PvP, you have this set with you, too. It really makes people mad because they're like, up, I almost got you. I almost forgot you. Up, I can't kill you for 10 seconds. So.
Yeah, it's definitely, I miss the days of when it just healed any of your allies. Those are the days, man. Of course, fighting people in PvP, like, of course, someone in the group would always have it. So it was definitely annoying, but you know, I had that advantage too because I had a dog that was there. So
yeah, that's the one thing that I didn't like about the change is that it changed to like to you and any ally to you or any group member, which, you know, in PvP, when I kind of run around solo or in like in a small group, I can't just be like, oh, here you go, I'm going to heal you and save your life. Or in like overland boss fights, I can't like save somebody's life with the earth gore. It's like, I just don't like that change, but you know, you get over it. So
yeah, you move on.
Yep.
All right, dog. So is there anything else about Bloodroot Forge that people should know before we call it a night?
Just like the last dungeon, you can get an antiquity lead. It's the golden idol of Morihos, and you get this from killing any Minotaur.
A Minotaur? A Morator?
Yeah, a Morator.
All right, man. Very awesome. So that is going to do it for us and the Horns of the Reach DLC pack. We hope you guys enjoyed hearing us go on about these very fun dungeons, old school ones. Definitely recommend checking them out if you never have. So, dog, let's wrap it up, man. Where can the people find us?
All right, you can find us on Twitter of at Red Diamond Cast. You can also find us on Facebook of the Red Diamond Courier, or you can find us in our ESO or Xbox field of Airs the Red Diamond, which you can join on the Robots Radio Discord on robotsradio.net.
And if you check the show notes, you'll find all of our awesome stuff, like links to our sponsors, merch store, ESO-hub.com, where you can get all answers to everything ESO, our music producer who creates all kinds of awesome stuff. And if you have time and you want to leave us a review, it would absolutely make our freaking whole month, and we would just beam with excitement about it for at least like a whole day. And not only that, we will shout it out to the stars if it's a 5-star review with some words for us to shout out. So thank you guys once again for listening. And if you're looking for me, it's going to be Bob Chachinsky anywhere you can find me. Twitch, Twitter, ESO, and even a new world now. Dogged, what about you? Where can they find you?
All right, you can find me on Xbox, Twitter, and ESO PC, all of at DogPark24. Yeah.
Very awesome, my dude. Thank you for hanging out with me once again. As always, it was a great time. We hope you all enjoyed it as much as we did, and we will see you on the next episode side of things. Episodes of 73. Yeah. Anyways, everyone have a great week out there in Tamriel. See ya.
Yep, see ya.
You've been listening to a Robots Radio podcast. Smart shows for interesting people. Check out all the shows at robotsradio.net.
Ahoy there, ye landlubbers. Avast, my name is Captain Logan, and I'll be your guide out on the Sea of Thieves. If you love the idea of stealing treasure, cutting down cursed skeletons, fighting off krakens, and raiding forts filled to the brim with shinies, then Sea of Thieves is the game for you. Join me each week as I dive into the news and bring back the nuggets of information that any sailor worth their weight in salt would desire. You don't have to be a pirate legend to gain access to my podcast. Just search for Keelhauled, a Sea of Thieves podcast in your podcast app of choice, or head over to robotsradio.net or captainlogan.podbeam.com and get ready to set sail for adventure. Arrgh.